motivation day for me, like, you guys talk about it so negatively, but when I think about it, I think about it being the best day of my life, personally.
Right. You heard it here first.
It was sort of like a new beginning for me, you know? I remember, like, just walking out that day, you know? I hated wearing it at first, though, you know?
Oh, she lost her.
I lost my cancer first, like, couple weeks.
Wait, but then, since we're being honest here, did you lose it or did you lose it?
Yeah.
I definitely lost it. We flipped the house upside down to try to find it.
Okay.
Every piece, the couch, our couch has cup holders. Mm-hmm. And we're like, where the heck did this thing go? Like, we flipped it over. We opened it up. We went through every, you know, bin, every trash. We like went inside and out. Like, we're like, okay, well, maybe it got stuck to a can somewhere. Well, I don't know. You know, it was in the summer too, so you were in the pool. Tore the house upside mm-hmm. down. This thing disappeared, and I bet you the day we move out of that house, we'll probably find it.
Oh, you never found it.
Never found it. Like, never to be seen again. It was the most bizarre thing ever.
Do you remember more from the activation? Anything specific? Even the appointments around the activation?
I just remember, the first... You told me, it was going to be scary when you turned it on. I think you said something about it sounding like a squirrel, almost.
It could sound cartoonish.
Yeah. And I was just like... You weren't wrong about that at all. You turned it on. I immediately wanted you to turn it off. I was like, this is terrible. You
know? The video.
But then it was like you slowly, like I was like pointing at like the elephant and like all these different like animals to show the levels. And I'm like, it was getting better and better. And I was like, wait a minute, this is weird. Like, I can hear more things now. And then we would go out after that at restaurants and I would hear like certain instruments in a song. And I was like, there's just so much that I missed out on that I just like didn't realize. And it was just so like weird just to hear so many things and feel kind of normal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you have to ask your parents what any sounds were, or did you kind of recognize it already? Because sometimes we say, like, we had a 21-year-old within the past year or two that was activated with a cochlear implant, and it was raining that day, and she went out with her mom to the car, and it was raining on the windshield, and she's like, what is that? And her mom had to say, those are raindrops on the windshield, but she had to be told what that was.
Wow.
So is there anything that just you sounds, you're like, what is that? Or were you able to recognize on your own?
Do you remember anything? I don't remember.
It's so funny because I remember almost everything in detail, but not really. I do remember water running, in a from the faucet that you had no idea what it was. And maybe, I don't know.
I think a lot of times it was just music. Because when you're in public places, there's usually always music going. And I would never hear it. Mm-hmm. But now I would hear it and I would just be able to pick out certain things I just wouldn't hear before that.
Do you feel like now you have an appreciation of music?
Yeah. I mean, my family's very musical. Everyone in my family loves music, and I was always the biggest hater of music. I was I couldn't understand the lyrics. All I heard was noises, and it never sounded clear to me. But now as I'm getting older, even in the past 2 years or so, I've learned to appreciate music for more, and just because I'm actually able to understand it now. And it's that's kind of just something so new to me that I just didn't get when I was younger.
You go first.
One of the things that we'll say to our adult patients who start off with CI who had progressive hearing loss, so their brain knows what certain songs sound like. Mm-hmm. We would tell them, listen to those songs because your brain knows what it should sound like. And it starts to assign meaning to the electrical sound that you're getting through the cochlear implant compared to the acoustic sound that you were used to before surgery. So that's one of our rehab techniques that we use to try and get to positive outcomes. It's interesting to me that because you didn't really have experience with music where you got a chance to like it or appreciate it or be familiar with certain songs before this process, that how that can lead to it being different for you. Have you felt over the years that your teachers have supported you and had an understanding of what your experience was?
So a lot of my teachers are very understanding. I've never had an issue with a teacher or anything like that, but it's I do have to constantly remind them. Mm-hmm. It's not it's the first thing that comes to their mind. And I can't expect that of them either. You know, it's not normal. You mm-hmm. know, I'm one of two kids in my school that have these issues, and she's not even as significant as I am. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I do have to tell my teacher, please put the closed captions on, and then, you know, can you make that louder? And they're always very good with it, but it's like, sometimes it gets a little infuriating having mm-hmm. to always ask for things, and I feel like I'm being annoying, but it's like, I'm advocating for myself.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Which is what you should do.
She had a wonderful English teacher last year that, well, it was funny, two extreme opposites. Her history teacher didn't, you know, I'll get to it. Finding, you know, all the everything's very video dependent these days in school. Mm-hmm. I'll find it. If she couldn't get a video, you know, that had closed captions, she would buy it because she did not want Emma to be excluded. Mm-hmm. So we've gotten very fortunate, you know, mm-hmm. with how the school interacts with her and to try to make sure she has everything that she needs.
That's great. That's yeah. It's not always that way.
Yeah. No, we're very fortunate.
And what about interactions with friends? Have friends ever commented about it? Have you ever had situations where you still couldn't hear what you wanted out of interactions with them?
I mean, I still don't like going to like big group things because I feel like I miss out on a lot and no one ever thinks to fill me in. You know, that's not the first thing that comes to someone's mind when you're having a conversation. You're just talking to that person. You don't think, oh, let me fill Emma in real quick. Let me tell her what's going on. So it's like a lot of times I do miss out on that stuff. And like, that's very frustrating because it's like, I just want to be able to have a group conversation with everyone. But it's like also like with sports and stuff, mainly my friends are very good about like making sure that like, if there's a play going on or something like that, that I'm very aware of that. And then my coaches are very good at like being sure, like everyone makes sure we're speaking louder and that we're making sure Emma can hear. So it's like, there are people that are very good about it. And then there's people that are just, they don't think of it.
Interesting. It's something that a lot of the world doesn't know how to interact with.
They don't. And I think too, because like just speaking from experience with Emma, that because she comes across normal, like a lot of times people don't know, they just don't think about it. Mm-hmm. You know, they're very uneducated, I guess,
yeah,
on what it's like to live with someone who's hard of hearing or to be hard of hearing, obviously, that, you know, if she doesn't hear something, you know, they think maybe she's being rude. You know, I had a friend years ago that used to think that she was just rude because mm-hmm. she thought she was ignoring her, but not the case at all. So people are just, you know, it's sad. They're uninformed about this community, you know, and it stinks, but I think as with everything else, it'll get better, you know.
You compared it to glasses earlier of when mm-hmm. when you had to wear glasses younger. I think a lot of people, us included, compare hearing aids and glasses. And like, if you take your glasses off, you could still see. Correct. But without mm-hmm. your devices, you really can't hear. And even with them, you can't hear perfectly. And it's just not always represented in the same way. Like, where you put on glasses and you could just see fine.
Right.
I think there's also a misconception out there that if somebody is wearing hearing aids or if they have a cochlear implant, that they can hear everything.
Right.
And it's almost like that sets people up for failure that, yes, you are doing what you need to do to treat your hearing loss, but none of our treatments give you access to everything you want to hear all the time.
Right.
So there's limitations, and people with normal hearing don't hear everything they want to hear all the time. Yeah. So it's something that the more awareness there is, the better it will be for everybody.
Absolutely. And what I love about Emma, other than just her, but is that she's very good at advocating for herself. As a parent, like, you know, with sports on sidelines, we could see certain things, you know, a coach will say something or a teammate will say something that she obviously missed. And, you know, Neil and I will turn to each other and be like, she didn't hear that, mm-hmm. you know, and a lot of times people aren't aware, you know, official, you know, like, and so, but I think also sometimes too, you're pretty good at like saying something. A lot of the umpires at this point know, and actually mm-hmm. it's kind of cool because there are two umpires that ump games for school that mm-hmm. are hard of hearing.
They're deaf.
They
communicate completely in sign language. It's really? Actually really cool watching them across the field having a full-on conversation. I just sit there because I'm taking ASL in school, so I'm learning that. And so I'm like, I'm trying to understand their conversation. Like, and I want to be fluent in ASL one day because I just think it's such an amazing language. And, you know, it's just so fascinating. Just, it is such a different culture. You know, it's sort of, you have your own community. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I kind of like feel like I'm not totally a part of that because I do have assistive devices. But then when I think about it further, that yes, I am a part of that because mm-hmm. I do understand what it's like.
Because you have that lived experience. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's nice that you want to integrate yourself more into that community mm-hmm. because there's always out there that it's so divisive of you're either cochlear implants or your ASL and there's a fine line, but it's nice to bridge that gap and be a part of both.
Right.
I'm thinking about the example of the umpires. Mm-hmm. If you think about softball in your case, it's you can umpire with you're using gestures. You don't need to so much focus on audibility. It's mm-hmm. visual. And right. yeah, play at first base, you might be listening for a footstep versus a ball hitting a glove. Mm-hmm. But in terms of calling strikes, notifying that there's an out, it's so visual that mm-hmm. that's an interesting profession and an interesting job for somebody to take on. I think yeah. that's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I love it. You know, it just shows that your only limitations in life, you know, is yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, if you really want to do something, you'll overcome anything. And I would think that would be a very hard thing to do, you know, mm-hmm. because you need to be visual as well as, you know, you need to hear what's going on. So yeah, it's really inspiring.
For the umps, they won't hear all the trash the parents are saying.
It's actually a blessing because they're the worst.
It's insane these days. I'm also curious for you to talk about the idea of being bimodal, which is cochlear implant and hearing aid, versus the consideration of two cochlear implants and how that decision is complicated for you, or maybe it's not so complicated.
So we were just talking about this in our last visit where we were talking about like the percentages of improvement. Mm-hmm. And I think you said something about like 31% to like 90 something percent. And to me, something like that, I'm mm-hmm. not sure what the exact numbers are, but it's like, that's a big improvement to me. And it's like, when I hear something like 97%, I'm like, okay, that's basically 100. Mm-hmm. And I'm like thinking, if I get a second surgery, how much is it really going to help me? Mm-hmm. And also my biggest fear, this is probably a big misconception that I had, is I thought I would have to get another MRI to get the second surgery. So I thought they were, since this is obviously mm-hmm. metal, like you can't go into the machine with it. So I was like, are they going to have to take it out? And then am I not going to be able to hear for a period of time? Like, mm-hmm. am I going to have two out? So I was just, that was my biggest fear, which is obviously not true, which was kind of played into my decision for a long time.
So it's interesting you say that because there are certain cochlear implants that are compatible with certain MRI machines. Oh, wow. So certainly with older patients that we have that are being monitored for some sort of chronic condition, or you might have somebody who is a previous cancer patient that's going for imaging periodically, that we can factor that in. Now, the magnet in the head can cast a shadow within the MRI. So if the region that's going to be examined could be shielded by that, you could theoretically have the magnet taken out and then put back in to have the mm-hmm. procedure done. So there are complicated ways of navigating that. But these days, there are more machines that are compatible. And I guess a question I would have for a surgeon would be, how long is previous imaging good for when it comes to navigating what their roadmap is for implanting the other ear?
Right.
Because it could be that, like, hey, the nerve's intact and anatomy looks normal, that we're good with this image that's older. But that would be determined by the surgeon.
Right.
Is that the biggest hang up for you?
It was for the longest time, but mm-hmm. it's also like, I feel like I'm succeeding so well in life. I mean, obviously they see things that I miss, so mm-hmm. I also don't know what I'm missing. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, I do play two varsity sports. I'm very successful in school. I'm in all honors classes, AP classes. So I see myself being very successful. Nothing's holding me back. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, is a second surgery going to make my life that much better? Because I already think it's pretty good as it is.
We tested you back, and I don't know if this is the appointment you're referencing because this was a while ago that we tested her, and she was 97% in quiet and 96% in noise with the hearing aid and the cochlear implants. And with scores like that, is it really as necessary to do a whole second surgery?
Yeah, it's a complicated decision because we could make an audiological argument that says absolutely do it. We could make an argument that says, is it absolutely necessary? There's so many factors. It's different to me than the first year was, because the first year it was kind of at a point of you really need this. You're not getting much of anything from that ear. And school, what we start to see once kids get to around fourth grade, the material, the vocabulary starts to get much more complicated. So kids who are compensating can have much more difficulty compensating at that point. So when we had that first conversation about doing this, it was, for me, it felt like much more of a necessity. Whereas, could you do better in the real world and on paper with a second year done? Yeah. But is that, yeah, worth going through the surgery and the rehab and any potential complications? So it's not an easy decision to make. And from our perspective, what we want to do is educate our patients on what are the likely eventualities? What are the things you could or should be factoring into your decision when it comes to do we do this or not? And it's not for us to make that decision for you. And there's times where we'll say, I strongly think this is your best option. And there's times where it's just not quite as clear when you factor in all of the factors. So I get that it's not an easy decision to make, that you could also say, no, it's not for me right now. And at some point in the future, change your mind. Or at some point in the future, say, nope, I got it right. And I don't need to do this. And that's where everybody's different, that it goes beyond test scores. It goes beyond what your results are on a piece of paper. It's who are you and what do you need? And do you feel like this is something that you need for yourself? Then it's complicated.
I mean, even from a parent standpoint, it's not something that I could force her to do. I remember I'm like, I want her to have the other one done before she starts driving, but she's doing great, and I understand. And I think her biggest hang up more than surgery is taking time off from her life. That's the big thing because, she would be, down. But it's different. Because this time it's not like she's just going to be left with a hearing aid that, out of an ear that she's not hearing so great out of either. Like she has a full other functioning ear that, she hears very well out of. So yeah, it's a tough decision,
For sure, it's not easy, and it's not a decision to take lightly. And I appreciate that there's a deliberation
Yeah,
around
it's
it.
well thought out. Have you thought much? I know this is a little while away, but have you thought in terms of what you want to do career-wise?
So actually I want to be an audiologist when I go home.
All right.
Well, you know where you can come for clinic hours.
It honestly took me a long time to like come to that decision. I just like was like taking ASL and I was like, well, I want to do something with ASL. So I was like, okay, I'm going to minor in ASL in college. And then I was like, maybe I want to do athletic training and stay within sports. But I was like, and I'm thinking more about it. I'm like, I want to do something more personal, something more meaningful to me. So I came across audiology and then I did all the research on it and like what the undergrad and all that stuff is. And I'm like all looking at a bunch of colleges now and like where to go to for school for that. So
It's good to know what you want to do right from the get-go.
I still don't know.
It's not uncommon that we hear from, and I would say certainly from peers who have hearing loss themselves, that their own experience led them to want to pursue this as a career and help people whose experience they can relate to. Because as much as we might be knowledgeable on the ear and the effects of hearing loss, it's
We lack the true understanding.
That lived
Yeah.
experience.
And we can never hear what a cochlear implant sounds like. We can describe it from simulations or what patients tell us, but you know better than we do of what it sounds like, what it's supposed to sound like, mm-hmm. or what patients are describing.
Yeah, it's I think it's very cool that you're considering this for a career. I think it could be a great fit and a great way to take your experience and build on it and help people through that. And I think that's part of what this conversation does, is mm-hmm. it helps kids who've gone through this, who are going through this. It helps parents who have gone through and are going through this, because so much of the experiences we hear, there are similar threads through it. That we had a conversation earlier today with another mother of a cochlear implant recipient, and you've both said things that she said, mm-hmm. and there are going to be similarities and relatable contexts about the experiences.
Right.
And I think you'll be able to bring something to the table that no matter how experienced we are, we can't do that. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of value in that. And I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, that was a big factor in my decision too. It's like, I've always like, you know, I didn't have that, and it's nothing against you guys. I promise you guys are amazing.
We're being honest, like, I still wonder where the canso is.
It was always like I was going into it and I didn't know, and I didn't have someone to tell me how it was going to feel, especially mm-hmm. being young. I didn't think to like look it up or anything like that. But it's like, I feel like if I can provide that for other people, it might make people feel more safe and more comfortable making that decision too.
I
was about to say it. Sometimes we think of the same stories at the same time.
You're a patient. You know.
On the day that we diagnosed a 7-year-old patient, a 7-year-old girl, that she needs hearing aids, and parents were not necessarily expecting it, we had an intern, a student rotating that day, and she wears hearing aids in both ears. And the girl looks a little bit scared. What does this look like? What does this mean? And then the intern kind of turns her head, and the girl says, "Oh, she has them too. Oh, I couldn't see them behind her hair, but look, they're pretty." And the girl got less afraid. The parents got less afraid, because here was this student doing a nice rotation and having a career ahead of her, and these hearing aids didn't look so scary.
Right.
Yeah, I think from things we've heard from parents, and you could speak to this better than mm-hmm. me, that there's beyond the devices themselves, there's the, oh no, what does this mean for my child? And I think in that moment, in that appointment, it was, wow, they just dropped the bomb on me, but also my kid's going to be fine. Because yeah. look at, here we have our intern, and she is just fine. And there's no reason that this child...
And the parents and the child didn't even know that she had hearing aids until it was shown to them. So right. you really can get by, and people, in some contexts, people should know for your benefit, but you can also not be the defining factor.
Right. That's not going to be who you are. You're still going to be yourself and a thriving individual. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can only speak from Emma's experience, but she has, I mean, you know, I just had something really good. It'll come back around again.
In a situation like that, as the clinician, no matter how empathetic we are and how much of a listening ear, consoling person we might be in that moment, we cannot provide the, I would almost call it a little bit of an exhale moment that right. just showing the hearing aid yeah. provided, because it took the air out of so many of the concerns yeah. in mm-hmm. just yeah. a moment of a little action.
Yeah, and how wonderful for her to be there at that moment in time to let, you know, the little girl know, or right?
Yeah, yeah.
That it was going to be okay. Let her parents know it's going to be okay, you know? And it is, like, you sit there, and it's like with your children, with any, again, you know, like we said earlier, anything wrong with them, like, you just think of all the what ifs, and, you know, you just automatically want to go to the negative. Mm-hmm. I could tell you today that all the time we're like, thank God for our hearing aids. Thank God for, because there are so many things that can go wrong, mm-hmm. you know, or there's so many different issues that you could have with your kids, and this is the least of them. This is the easiest of them, because there's just been such, you know, a light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. And I remember coming in for every audiology visit prior to her being implanted, scared, filled mm-hmm. with dread, like, please, praying and bargaining with God, like, let it be stable, you know, yep. let's stay where it is, you know. And then after, once she was activated, I was excited. Every appointment, like,
how much
I'm
better
like,
is it going to be?
Yeah, like, I could breathe. Like, yeah, what is she going to hear this time? What are we going to do this time? Like, yeah. It was just incredible. And it's really, yeah. And it's your whole perspective, too. But, like, as a parent, again, you just think of all the negatives mm-hmm. and how your kid's going to be different and, you know, how their life experience is going to be a little bit harder than other kids. And you don't want that. Like, mm-hmm. who wants that? Who signs up for that? You know, these are all things that you don't prepare for, like when you're having a baby or a child, you know. So it was just amazing. It was just complete difference. And it is. It's, you know, now it's just like, okay, you know, we got to replace this and, you know, we got to get this cleaned. And it's just, it's so different. And it's such a relief. And, you know, I would take this any day, because I think it's just made her the person she is today, too.
And as you say that, I think it's easy to overlook the resilience that can stem from this sort of experience that you've had with your hearing. That, yeah. In the way you talk about advocating for yourself, we have to speak up out in the world. Otherwise, mm-hmm. the world's going to walk all over us. Mm-hmm. So you've developed that skill. And if that skill is developed because of your hearing loss, great. Mm-hmm. That maybe there's other ways to do it, but you've done it through this channel. And I think that's really cool that you're willing to stand up for yourself and speak up for what you need and make sure that those around you are giving you what you need to make sure that you can be the best you possible.
And you bring a lot of value to the audiology table. Like, as a future potential audiologist, you bring something that's lacking out in the professional world. So Eric, hire her in 10 years.
Get a job.
You heard wants. That?
It's on recording now.
Yeah.
Goes without saying. Is there anything else that you would want people to know that you think is important to understand about the parenting journey of a child with hearing loss, or being a kid and navigating the world with your cochlear implant and hearing aid?
I mean, when I think of my hearing loss, I'm honestly thankful for it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, like you were saying before, it's truly made me who I am. I think without it, I would have been an entirely different person. And I think I'm just a better person for it at the end of the day. I think I'm, you know, I just see things so differently. You know, I care more about things because I've been through my own experiences. And, like, I see other people who have hearing loss or whatever it is, you know, and I care more about it. I'm more empathetic yeah. towards mm-hmm. it. Yeah. So I just,
sorry.
I feel like it's just such a great thing for me personally.
It's informed your view on the world.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, again, if I had a choice, would I want her to have an issue? No. But I think it's shaped her to be this incredible human being. I am so grateful that I get to be her mom and on this journey with her and, you know, and watch her thrive. I mean,
for sure.
There are a lot of times you just think that that's it. I'm going to crawl in a hole, but she's thriving and it's exciting. I'm excited for the next step. And if I could, you know, it's funny, I've come across a lot of people and I've had adults call me, call Emma,
mm-hmm.
that are going in for evaluations. I think I know someone that just came to see you for evaluation. Yes. And I'm like, any questions, anything, you know, and we both get on, you know, we talk to them, you know, and help them. But, you know, just from a parent's point of view, and if you have a kid, that it's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's options and there's, you know, your kid could have a very full life. You know, it's not a death sentence. That's for sure.
Sure, yeah. And I think also going on what you're saying, that there seems to be such an openness of people wanting to share their experiences to help others who are starting off with the process that you encountered 13, 14 years ago.
Way too long ago, yeah.
So, and flies.
Yeah, it does. But I think there's a lot of value in your willingness to share your story, and I think it's going to be helpful. So
I hope so.
And we're excited to see what you do next.
Yes.
Yeah. Me too.